Hey, in the immortal words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice. We're happy you're spending some time with us. Chip and Zay right here holding it down on the midday. Texas Sports Unfiltered. Zay, how you doing?
What up? Happy hump day, everybody. Feeling good, feeling great. Chip, how are you?
Oh, man. Chopping wood with a butter knife as usual.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird times in the transfer portal for Texas.
Say the least.
Say the least. So, Bo Barnes, who looked good in the Citrus Bowl.
Look good, man.
Look good.
Way he collapsed on Bryce Underwood. Man, wasn't that exciting?
Ran the alley.
Ran the alley.
Dropped him for an 8-yard sack in the first quarter.
Wow, man. Like, damn.
Yeah, he's in the transfer. He's headed to the transfer portal. He's planning to get into the portal. Yeah. For Texas fans, you wish there was more good news. So this is an interesting time right now in the portal. And
so what have you heard? Because you know me, I'm going to start speculating, conjuring, and I don't want to do that. I want to know what happened with Elijah Bo Barnes, because from the outside looking in, especially after that Cheez-It Bowl where I thought he had a decent game. I don't know what his grade was on Pro Football Focus, but that was a big-time play that showed a lot of upside. So clearly the exit meeting didn't go well, because if it did, he'd still be a Longhorn. Who knows? He maybe could come back. Derek Williams did. But looking like it right now, yeah, I don't know how that ended up happening.
Well, they're getting to the 2025 guys right now. I mean, a lot of the freshmen, they're getting to their – contracts now, and you know that Citrus Bowl may have elevated Bo Barnes' value to where I don't think he was happy with the offer that he got from Texas. So you know, this is like I said, it's interesting times, because you would think Bo Barnes, what have I been saying for the last 2 weeks? The two positions you have to nail are offensive line and linebacker. You have to bring in the reinforcements at those positions to elevate the program. And so you're not really expecting Bo Barnes, who's 6'1", 244, and can run, smart guy, to be one of the guys that they can't, you know, seem to get a deal done with. So right now, if you're looking at it, the returning scholarship linebackers who've played, it's Ty Anthony Smith. You know, you signed Jonathan Cunningham, but he worked out at nickel most of the year. You've got three linebackers coming in as freshmen in 2026, Tyler Atkinson, Rocky Cummings, and Cozy Akpala. But you need some experience. You got to have some dudes. So we're already talking about Robert Woodyard.
Yeah, they got to be smart too, apparently.
No, I mean,
they got to be Einsteins.
I think it's because he's a senior. And if he's going to graduate from Texas, he's got to have XXXXX to graduate. And if you're an underclassman, they can figure, there's more time to figure things out. But if you're a senior, you're coming in for 1 year, I guess they can't make exceptions at that point. So he would have had to take a bunch of classes.
Yeah, what's wrong? Give him 25 classes, 25 hours. I mean, 25 hours, get him that fine-ass tutor to help him out. A lot of help. Like, hey, we got to grind in the books. It is what it is. But, man, Elijah Bo Barnes, I'm looking at his grade, Pro Football Focus, Michigan game, 68, 68.9. I mean, that's cool. Average. It's cool. Again, that was a huge play. That was a loud-ass play on Bryce Underwood. Very loud. Got Texas fans excited. But if he's out here asking for more, I don't know what he originally got. I'm assuming it's decent. But
well, I think some of the guys who got good money to come in the 2025 class who didn't play, they're being asked to take a little less than what they got their first year because they got a lot of money for not playing. So then it's a matter of, well, how much are you going to cut? And I think that's where it got sticky with Bo Barnes because his people, agent, you know, that Citrus Bowl probably helped him, probably helped Kalik Lockett, you know, help Christian Clark. Christian Clark's still negotiating. So, you know, this is, you got to be a well-oiled machine and, you know, Texas, you would think they know what they're doing because they've done well in the portal. They've supplemented the roster well in the past. But man, if you let go of some of these young up and comers, you're losing your identity as a developmental program. You want guys that have been in the culture, that want to carry it on, like Ty Anthony Smith. We haven't seen enough of Bo Barnes to know what his ceiling is. Now, the coaches are around the players all the time. I just can't imagine, you know, Will Muschamp. I would think Will Muschamp has, you know, some say in this. If he's evaluated the film and he's looked at the guy and...
Yeah, as the defensive head coach, I would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's... Yeah.
Mark's words, not mine.
Yeah. So, what'd you think about that?
I mean, it's very slow. That's all I'm gonna say. It's not when let's holler at me on the 16th, and if it's still like this, because there's still time, you know. But it seems a lot slower than teams that are playing for college football playoffs. Like Indiana, and I know Mark Cuban's throwing Indiana that money. I didn't know all that. Like Cuban said, yeah, I ain't dealing with the Mavs no more. I'm going to put my money, it's something else I care about, and that's his alma mater at Indiana. So, yeah, that definitely helps for sure. But also, they're Cincinnati's getting ready for games, and they're just signing guys left and right. And again, I know Sark and them, they got a lot going on, but they don't have to worry about playing for a national championship right now. And it's slow for them, yet fast for teams like Indiana. So that's where I'm just like, man, what's going on? Where's the disconnect? And I don't want losing Bo Barnes to take away from signing Rutgers cornerback Bo Masco. I think that was a good get. But like you said, Chip, they don't need as much in the secondary at that cornerback position. I don't know what Kobe Black's going to do, Warren Roberson. Feel like Cade Phillips is going to come back, but you catch my drift there. But the focus needs to be on the linebacker group. LaFell, gone. Ant Hill, NFL. Trey Moore, no more eligibility. Ty Anthony Smith, that's all you got right now that you feel good with. Brad Spence, are you going to move him back to that linebacker position? Who knows what Will Muschamp's going to do with that? but it's slow right now, man. It's slow. And yo, Naaman, bro, I ain't got no eligibility. There's nothing I can do with that, man. There's nothing I can do with that. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like Bo Barnes, you could have done something with that. And again, Bo Barnes feels like he's worth more. Who am I to say you can't go out and strive for what you think you're worth? Like, if that's what his team's telling them, it sucks for Texas fans and for Texas, but also Texas, you got to think that they're making good decisions. You got to think that they're doing what's best for the team. So if that's what that means, not paying Bo Barnes that money because you don't think he's good enough, then so be it. But that room is light. That room is light.
Yeah. And so now, you know, you've got the you got the Cal linebacker out there. They've talked to the Wisconsin linebacker, Aliegro. And those guys are veteran guys, but you're going to have to pay them. So it's like, where do you want to invest? Do you want to invest in Bo Barnes, young, hungry, your guy? You recruited him, top 60 national prospect. Again, fits the description of what Will Muschamp wants at linebacker, big, strong, fast, 6'1", 244, can run.
Why can't you find no, like, Cam Scalaboo mindset guys in the D2 level like Kenny Dillingham did? Kenny Dillingham just got a brand spanking new pretty-ass contract all because of gets like Cam Scalaboo. Finding guys in the trenches. And guys like Cam Scalaboo took him to a college football playoff, which led to a huge extension because they didn't want Kenny Dillingham flirting with Michigan and whatnot. Like, if that's what you got to do, man, because that's what it's getting to. And again, 10 days, 9 now. What, 16, 10, 9, my math all corrupt right now, but hey. They still got time, but it doesn't feel like much time.
Right. Yeah, because these days are passing like 3 days in one because Texas fans are so hungry for some good news. And I get it. You know, I think, you know, you don't want to come out and make any kind of sweeping conclusions because the portal's still going. What's the plan? It's not like Sark is coming out and giving a briefing each day at the end of the day. So, you know, you're listening to what you're getting from, you know, people who are close to it or sometimes involved in it. And if it's not going their way, they're not going to be happy. And so you're getting one side of it and you're seeing that side of it, but you got to wait and see what the other side of it is when it's all said and done. Because again, the track record up to now has been pretty good. And, you know, it's just on the offensive line and at linebacker, Leonga Lafau hit the portal. Now you've got, you know, Bo Barnes hitting the portal. And those two had a connection, you know, so yeah. That room is, I mean, if I'm Ty Anthony Smith, I'm like, okay, who else is in this room with me? You know,
Ty Anthony Smith saying, bet I want all them reps. I ain't coming out the game. Hell yeah. Give me that. You ain't got to look over your shoulder. And yeah, if I'm Tyler Atkinson, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, yeah, I might be a freshman, but he might get some smoke early. And if you're a competitor, like, I think that dude is, I'm sure he wants all that. But we've talked about this schedule, that jump from high school to college the first year, it's very rare to make a big time impact. Like, as good as Grayson Littleton was this year, he had his moments.
Yeah.
He had his moments. You know, he had his freshman mistake moments. But still, those younger guys, them three that are coming in, once you get here in January, you need to have the mindset of, I'm going to be playing in September. Like, don't look at the wide receiver room as an example. Don't look at these other rooms where they're just sitting freshmen. I don't think the linebacker rooms, the freshmen that are coming in, 2026 class, they can't look at it that way. They shouldn't. You shouldn't in general. You should always have that, just aspiration to want to be the starter, but you still got to be realistic. Right now, the way it's looking, what's realistic is the young guys might not have any choice but to play. So, yeah, they better get it in their minds now that, oh, shit, here we go. I might get clocked early and take advantage of that when you get those opportunities.
Guess who played the most snaps on defense for Texas in the Citrus Bowl?
Ty Anthony Smith.
86.
Yeah. He got them two interceptions, too. So he's like, oh, I can make plays, man. I've proven that I can make plays, which I'm sure if I was him, I'd test the market, too. Why not? Especially with the leverage that you got, they need Ty Anthony Smith. I see a lot. This is my pettiness coming out. I see Elijah Bobars going in the portal. I'm calling my agent saying, hey, can we give me an extra 50,000? Because now they need me. They can't afford to lose me. Oh, it's a dark game out here. Poor these coaches, they going through it. They going through it. I'm sure Sark's going through it. You know, yes. And they look cute. You see, I don't know if you've seen those pictures of L'Oreal, Sark, and Christmas time. They had the Texas pajamas on.
Oh, I saw that.
You saw that? That's a cute photo, man.
I thought it was AI.
Yeah, knowing the troubles that you've been through with Twitter and stuff, I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
But that was cute. Those were fire. Was that AI, Sark? It can't be.
I don't think it was.
Pretty. Yeah, I don't think it was, too. I think everybody's just pretty in the picture.
Yeah.
They're just beautiful people. But, yeah, them pajamas, those are fire. The baby. But, yeah, right now, this coach is going through it.
Did you? Yeah. 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 I mean, and here's the thing. You know, you've got some new coaches in. You got Will Muschamp in. You got Jabbar Jalouk in, and then you've got, you know, Brandon Harris handling it as the GM. He's in constant communication with Steve Sarkisian. And then, you know, the guys who were getting it done for Texas One Fund, like Wheels, those guys are not involved anymore. And so that's another interesting factor to consider, because they were pretty good at getting, you know, deals done. And obviously it's a new world to cap the $20.5 million that you get to spread across all your, you know, the rev share with student athletes. And then, of course, there's NIL deals on top of that. And that we've talked about how that's, they got to, you know, be fair market deals. And all that. So it is different. The structure of things is different this year than it has been in the past. Right. And, you know, we'll see how that ends up playing a role in all of this.
Okay. Let me ask you this, because I'm not calling for anybody's job or anything, but I know the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I understand that there's a cap now and you have to adjust because the Texas One Fund, they're not going to that like they were. So why wouldn't you bring on people who are a part of the Texas One Fund and put them on staff so it could be more similar to what you had before when things were, to what I could see, working better?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Because, you know, again, that's a question for Steve Sarkisian and Brandon Harris.
So like Pancake Factory 2, that's not the thing?
Right.
That right. makes a lot of sense. I didn't know that. I didn't know, like, I thought they would just bring in those guys, which I guess that's ignorant for me to think, because why wouldn't you? You know, I thought you'd bring those people along, put them on the payroll, make up a job, whatever. But that's concerning. That's concerning. And again, they have 10 days, the 16th. That's the deadline. So I want to get over my skis because a lot could happen from now to then on what this team is. But as of now, that's very interesting to know, because Pancake Factory, Texas One Fun, man, it was cooking. Everything was running smooth. I didn't hear many complaints. You know, core guys weren't leaving.
Yeah. Well, what are you excited about in terms of what Texas is signing?
I like more depth in the cornerback room in the secondary. You know, as much as we like Cade Phillips' upside, Warren Roberson really showed his ass in the Michigan game. I think Kobe Black has another gear that Will Muschamp can lock into to really elevate his game. So picking up Bo Masco, I think that's a very underrated pick. And I know he came from Rutgers, but you mentioned yesterday, those guys who are on crappy-ass teams that want to win and have something to prove, I think Bo Masco is cut from that cloth. So I like that, man. I do. I like that pickup, because you're going to need all hands on deck, you know, and I still don't know what they're going to do with Grayson Littleton. Are they going to put him on the outside more? Because we know how versatile he could be. Wardell Mack had a terrific Citrus Bowl with that big-time interception. And if you look at his Pro Football Focus grade in that game, it was the highest out of any defensive player at 89.2 with 31 snaps. 90 is elite. We talk about that all the time. So the secondary, especially with Derek Williams coming back, which I love, man. I was telling Sean Redfern on Friday how much that hurt me, because we've been doing this show for 3 years ago, and you know how I feel about Louisiana native Derek Williams. If he could get back to what he was before the injury, that's a big if. But I think this year that he had this season, maybe it was mental. Maybe he just wasn't feeling back to the norm. You could tell he was a couple of steps. He lost a couple of steps from what we saw his freshman year and that part of his sophomore year before he got hurt in the Oklahoma game. Him coming back, that leadership you're going to add, and him just being more confident in that knee, I love him coming back. And I know people are throwing around that clip where Sark went on with the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark and Fred Taylor and those guys and Shannon Crowder and stuff. And he was like, yeah, if you enter the transfer portal, there ain't no coming back. I don't put up with that. I think there's exceptions. I think there's exceptions. You know what I'm saying? I think there's exceptions. So everybody that's trying to put Sark on blast for that, yeah, he said it. I'm cool with him reeling that thing back for Derek Williams, especially if Mill Muschamp coached Derek Williams. You dig? So, y'all clown Sark all you want, but if you're a Texas fan, you should be happy that Derek Williams is coming back for a 2026 season. Hopefully the knee could be completely healthy where that's not on his mind and he can look like that player that we thought he was going to be coming into this part of his career. I like those moves in the secondary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I know it's hard for folks to even get excited about that because of the fact that you haven't had the the big time commitments at offensive line or linebacker, or everyone, you know, is watching Cam Coleman, who's now out at Texas Tech visiting. So Cam Coleman will have had visits to Texas, Texas A&M, and now Texas Tech.
I'll see you, Cam. Man, get wine and dine, man. Get fed grapes by beautiful model women if you can. Like, he's milking it, as he should. He's a high commodity. Milk that thing, brother. I cannot knock it. He is flirting his ass off with everyone.
Yeah. It's good to be Cam Coleman right now.
Be Cam Coleman. You know what I'm saying? I'd be asking for massages. I'd be asking for stuff that just don't even make sense. Stuff that nobody needs in their life. But who gonna go the extra mile? How bad you want me? Well, you know, that's a very interesting place to be in. And it's weird, Chip, because I feel like some of these guys, they just want to be wanted. Like, you see these guys going in the portal and stuff, like, they want to go through that process again of being recruited, because sure, that's a great feeling. It was great for little old me when my decent ass was going off to Seminole, Oklahoma for trips for JUCO in Jacksonville, Texas, to see if I could play JUCO ball, and I ended up at Paris, Texas. Man, I thought I was the man. That's JUCO. That wasn't nothing compared to what these guys are experiencing. So I get it. I get it. It feels good to be wanted. And you got to make sure it's the right fit.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to make sure it's the right fit for sure.
You look it down like we got a breaking news.
Oh, you know, it's, I'm going to be checking a lot of things. So feel free to jump in here. I'm trying to also look at this latest post from Sonny Shipley. Dave Ashley has let us know that, because that's just a horrific situation. And, I mean, Jordan Shipley, the all-time leading receptions or the all-time receptions leader at Texas, still holds records for single season records for receiving yards, receptions, and touchdowns, involved in a equipment accident at his ranch that turned into a fire. He's got third degree burns and was in critical but stable condition. I've heard, you know, that his face and his hands are good, but, it's just a horrific, situation, but, I'm still on this new computer too. And can you get onto Facebook, Zay? Can you see what Sonny Shipley has posted on her Facebook?
CB, send me that. Because that would be tough, my Facebook.
Okay. In her post, she said she's worried about his hands. It's just, he's the nicest guy in the world. I mean, Jordan Shipley is the nicest guy in the world. He's a killer. Like, you meet him, you'd never suspect that the guy was as totally accomplished as he was, because he's so humble. He's so low key. He's a lot, you know, he and Colt cut from the same cloth. My favorite Jordan Shipley stories were, you know, he grew up with Stephen McGee and Burnett, and those guys would, you know, they're out there in the country. They would do stuff like go parasailing behind a pickup truck. And one time, I think it was Jordan driving and Stephen McGee up on the parachute got tangled up in a tree. I mean, they were just doing country stuff. but such an amazing dude. And when, you know, when you heard about that with Jordan Shipley and the, this equipment accident on his ranch, you're just like, oh God, you know? So, thoughts and prayers, big time to the Shipley family. Yeah. They're worried about infection, pneumonia.
Yeah, that's what's like tragic about it, because that's what he loves to do, like be on the ranch. Like, yeah. You're that country boy. You're never going to take that out of him, no matter how old he gets. You know, he's always just going to working around the crib, just doing country boy Texan things. Like, that's his vice. You know what I mean? And yeah, I feel horrible for him and the fam.
Yeah. CB says, check the Coda text line. yeah, everyone's worried about the transfer portal. I get it. And I'm like half checking everything right now. So feel free to ask me any questions, Zay, that you're thinking about.
Well, Malik Brown, where's that at?
Should be in this evening for the visit. That's definitely a name that is at the top of the, alert list. So, Malik Brown coming in for a visit. That'll be clutch. I mean, you got to see how it goes, but you got to get him on campus first. You got to have that speed date where you try and find out within an hour or two how much football means to a guy. How does he want to be coached? Can he be coached hard?
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
That's tough.
I mean, when you're recruiting a kid out of high school, you're doing it usually over the course of a year, sometimes two, sometimes three. You're developing that relationship. You feel like you really know that person. And now you're, okay, can I coach you hard? what's someone gonna say?
No.
Yeah. You can coach me hard.
No, coach. You say one thing to me, I might cuss your ass out. I might leave.
You know what I like about Malik Brown, though? He's from Stockton, California. That's like one of the toughest towns going. You know? Stockton is not like San Francisco or LA. Stockton is, that's a tough, it's like Oakland, you know?
Yeah. Well, that means something.
I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah. But nowadays, and I'm not saying Malik Brown is that, but when you from tough areas and money might be tight, are you asking for more money, more than what you're worth, because you have no choice to? Like, that's back in the day, it was cool when you got that get it from the mud type of guy, because money wasn't involved. But now that money is involved, some of these kids, they see what their parents are going through. And again, you can't put it past them on wanting to change their lives for their family. And who knows how deep that runs? We talk about Uncle Ray Ray all the time. So if Uncle Ray Ray, who put that ball in your hands, struggling, you want to help out Uncle Ray Ray any way you could, because you feel obligated to that.
Well,
so that's what you have to find too, man. It is brutal out here.
Hey, and trying to follow Texas's, you know, what they're willing to pay and do is hard to follow. So, but, you know, from what I've heard about Malik Brown, tough dude, you know, and I love the way he runs. I love how he catches the football. Love that he's got breakaway speed. He's a home run hitter. 6.1 a carry, 33 catches. Take that.
It's because I keep refreshing what y'all are doing on Horns 24/7. You, Scruggs, Hank South, E. Henry, the whole crew, hell of a job. KJ Lacy's renegotiating as to what I'm seeing after I just hit the refresh.
Like button. I said, all those 2025 guys are getting their contracts, proposals, like over the last several, you know, like beginning of this week.
Damn, I'm not worried about a backup.
Christian Clark's negotiating, KJ Lacy, James Simon, all those guys.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I shouldn't be surprised, but also, yeah, you would think KJ Lacy is just a part of the process. Like, I'm picturing the KJ Lacy exit being coming in like, yo, what's up, Sark? I'm back up next year, right? Yeah, probably. Okay, cool. Dap him up. See you when I see you. That's how I envisioned it, but we know that's not realistic. We know their agents aren't telling them to do that. Like, gotta be smart about it. So, yeah, that KJ Lacy, I just didn't expect to see his name come up. You would think that. And then who knows where he's thinking? Like, who knows? You didn't really see any film on KJ Lacy this year, him being the third string. But for him to take Trey Owens' job and force Trey Owens in the portal, that says something to me, because I still think Trey Owens got a little bit in the tank. But, yeah, KJ Lacy, everybody. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe.
Well, I know that.
You're saying they cheat, Johnny? Money managing, that's like a nice way of saying they cheap.
I gotta say this. And someone asked me if I was thinking of Compton. No, I'm Stockton. I'm not saying Stockton's a tough town. It's like Oakland, you know?
I don't even know where Stockton is, so I'm taking your word for it.
Well, one of my point of references is the UFC fighters, the Diaz, Nate Diaz, they're from Stockton. And those boys, they talk about how tough you got to be from Stockton. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But
anyway.
Yeah, I've never been to Stockton. Couldn't tell you where it is on the map. So, yeah, Diaz brothers, them fools tough.
Okay, more. Brace yourself for more. Andrew Sprague, the Michigan offensive tackle, I think he just posted on his social media that he is going back to Michigan. So, Sprague entered the portal with a do not contact tag, and Texas was seen as a favorite, but he went back, visited with Kyle Whittingham, and the you had the guard Jake Guarnera say that he was going back to Michigan, and once that happened, you're kind of like, ooh, because there was a chance. I mean, Texas talked to both of them, Sprague and Guarnera. And then they went and talked to Kyle Whittingham, and now it appears they're staying. So the hits just keep on coming, Zay. The hits just keep on coming.
9 days, baby, 9 days. I mean, yeah, it's Michigan football. I'm sure they worked out a good deal for him. Kyle Whittingham is a really good coach that now that he has the talent to match the coaching, even though he's on the older side, I think Kyle Whittingham could make some noise in Ann Arbor. Because if he was making noise in Salt Lake City and he wasn't getting anywhere close to the players that he's going to be able to get now. So that's not surprising. I also think Sprague, you're battling with Brandon Baker. So I don't know if you're out here coming just saying, all right, this spot is just yours. I think Brandon Baker has every right to fight for it. But if Sprague's asking for starting money and he might not even be a starter.
Well, they would probably move Brandon Baker inside to guard.
Okay.
I know they talked to him about that. And
he cool with it?
I don't know if his agent's cool with it, but I think, you know, I mean, it's a different world, man.
See, man, the agents have feelings now. They got feelings where, oh, I mean, I know that tackle money is crazy in the league, but it's not his fault that Brandon Baker, he's a decent tackle, but he ain't good enough to just hold that spot like that. If they're thinking about moving him, ain't nobody think about moving Kelvin Banks. And when that was thrown out to just completely disrespect what he did at Texas, just because I don't know why that rumor was a rumor, and he ended that very quickly in his rookie year where he should be first team all rookie by far. He was easily the best rookie offensive lineman in the NFL. But yeah, if coaches are moving you, you ain't good enough to hold that position. That's okay. Like Quinn Nelson's a really good, very high paid guard in the NFL. So yeah, you got to do what's best for the team. If you feel like you're worth more than that, if you know you're a tackle, like we've been saying all along, go out, get flirt around, and go get what you think you're worth. I can't knock it, but I am going to continue to trust Texas and how they're going about this and every decision that they make for the program.
Yeah, it's
see,
it's a lot.
That's what I'm saying, Johnny. Like Johnny's asking, how is Brandon Baker not ready? I don't know. Clearly he's not. If they're looking for others, they trying to move him.
Well, I think you're trying to get the best players you can get. And if it happens to be a tackle, you know, Brandon Baker, I mean, depending on what your evaluation is he more of a guard than he is a tackle? Would he be better at guard than he is at tackle? We've seen guys move inside from tackle, but it's not even a conversation anymore because Andrew Sprague is staying. I know, you know, they're talking to Joe Brunner, he's a 2-year starter at left guard for Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see how that goes. He's got 1 year of eligibility left. Never given up a sack in those 2 years as a starter at left guard. So, yeah. You know, those Wisconsin boys, they tend to get after you a little bit.
Yeah, lifting hay, working on a farm. Hell yeah, I love them. Them white boys, tough as hell, man. Yeah, we like that. Yeah, it's slow right now. You know, Texas fans impatient. I get it. You didn't make the college football playoff. It'd be different if you were still playing and it was slow. Texas fans wouldn't be tripping. You know what I'm saying? Because they'd be focused on different things. But you out here winning the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl and you slow? That's a lot. Texas fans, that's a lot, man. That UTSD is real. It's real, you know. And it's the 20th anniversary of Vince Young a few days ago, Rose Bowl National Championship. So that's what we see in a lot of that go around, celebrating the 20 years, which, as fun as it was, it gives you a lot of pain for where you at now, which ain't that bad. Strong and Herman, it was way worse then. But college football playoff, back-to-back season, then you don't make it in Arch Manning's first year as a full-time starter. Texas fans are a little uneasy right now.
Yeah. Well, I guess we need to at least mention Texas basketball last night. And Cam Heidi back in the starting lineup. And they get him some shots, and he hits, what was he, 5 of 9 from three?
Good game.
I don't know. I mean, what you tell me what you thought of that, what you thought of that game, because there was more grousing from Sean Miller.
Yeah.
At the end, you know, in the post game.
Yeah, he's become really frustrated where – now I'm at the point he might lose these guys with how fresh, because there's so many different frustrations here. And low key, you know, it's kind of like the UConn game. You remember we talked about the UConn game and Mathis and Daylon Swain really struggled, but Trayvon Mark and Jordan Pope did well. That's what Dan Hurley wanted. Same with Cam Heidi. Rick Barnes will take every day of the week Cam Heidi scoring 16 points if it means Jordan Pope, Daylon Swain, and Mathis Vakatidis combined for 9. We'll take that. We're not worried about Heidi. They can't get him involved. If he does get involved, everybody else won't be involved because they're not used to playing with him being involved. So we're going to take their main guys out of the game, screw the rest, and we'll take whatever we could get from that. And they did that to perfection. And they're just better. They're just better. They're bigger. They're stronger. They're more physical. They're just a better team. But Sean Miller, going back to last Saturday after the Mississippi State game where he made the hit by the bus analogy, which I understood, that I think – was it a little dramatic? Yes. But I understood what he was saying. For an example, in this game against Tennessee, Chip, Mathis has 2 fouls, which this you could say this is on Sean Miller, but you got to play Mathis as much as you can because he's really your only option down low. So Mathis has 2 fouls. There's still a lot of time in the first half. I'm sure they've been telling him, you can't foul again. You can't do it. You can't jeopardize us and foul again. I'm sorry. We've been teaching you how to not foul. When somebody goes up, you got to keep your hands up. You can't do this. You can't try to block it. You're not good enough for that yet. You just have to be straight up. And if somehow they still call a foul, then we'll handle it and we won't blame you for it. But here he is, Carey, who's more physical than him. He falls on the ground. He gets back up. Carey puts that shoulder on him. And what does Mathis do with 2 fouls already? Leans over. Foul. 3rd foul. We got to take you out. That's that bus driving analogy. How many times can he tell you? How many times can you teach it? They're teaching it. It's not like they're not teaching these things. It's not like Sean Miller is then this coaching staff in practice time is telling Mathis these things. They are. It's not clicking. The basketball IQ for a lot of these guys, it's just not there. It's just not there. And that's on Sean Miller. We talk about the speed dating with Steve Sarkisian. You got to find guys, you know, and Sean Miller said it yesterday. He said it when he got here, March, whatever the hell he said, March 18th or something. Those first 10 weeks were hell because they're just scrapping to find guys to put a team together. And clearly they have not done a good job. Mathis is also not a good teammate either. He's not. He's not a good teammate. He pouts on the bench when things aren't going his way. He gets up slow. You don't see much clapping. And Miller kind of talked about this too. He was like, when guys aren't playing well, they get in their heads and stuff, and it allows them to affect them. And it's about them and not the team. He's talking about Mathis. He's talking about Mathis there. He's got to mature. He's too much of a, you know, he's just too much of a strength for this team for him to be a liability like he's been. And that's what a Rick Barnes team will do to you. They're physical. They're big. Like, it was rough for him. But he can't allow it to affect the next play and the next play to where his mind is completely out of the game. And that's what's happened with him. So Sean Miller sitting Swain, Pope, and Mathis last night, majority of the second half, I thought that was a good move. I thought that was a good move. Like, he is sending the message to everybody. He sent the message to Cam Heidi and the fours last week. Nick Cody was a lot better tonight by saying the four position's giving us nothing. We're basically playing 4-on-5. Cam Heidi looked better, and also Nick Cody looked better, even though I think Cam Heidi's 16 was fool's gold and plays into what Rick Barnes wanted. And, you know, good for Cam Heidi. I'm glad he's happy. But also, they completely took Pope, Swain, and Mathis out of the game. That's what you got to do to beat Texas. And, yeah, Tennessee's just better. But Sean Miller, the way that he's saying things after the game with the media, I don't think this team has responded well to it. And, yeah, I think it's just going to be a lot more of a struggle moving forward. And it's just because this team, the way it was structured, they're just not good enough. You know, they play hard. They played hard. Kendall Weaver, Tremont Mark, Simeon Wilcher, Cam Heidi, Nick Cody. You could throw Traore in there for the last 12 minutes of the game where they went to a zone and they kind of fought back. That was a good moment. But, man, it's just
not well, seven turnovers for Swain.
Yeah.
That cannot happen.
Yeah, they were bad turnovers too. He tried to throw a cross-court pass in the second half. Ooh, that just was so ill-advised. And, hey, he's probably exhausted. Like, what he did in that game against Mississippi State, he put his heart out there. And Rick Barnes, they were like, this fool ain't going to beat us because we have the size to deal with him, even though Dalen Swain's 6'8". You're going up against this Rick Barnes team that has 6'8", 6'9", and not only are they tall, but just the mass, man, the size of these dudes. Like, Carey's a monster. I remember him being a monster giving Texas problems last year at Vanderbilt. He was a monster again. And just the way that they guard on-ball screens, Gillespie and Hubbard the other night for Mississippi State, I don't know if they're not talking, and this goes back to the bus driving comment that he made. Like, you can't allow someone like Josh Herbert to kill you. Okay, it happened. We're probably working on that a lot until Tuesday, where you face Tennessee, another team that likes to put their star point guard in high pick and roll situations. What does Gillespie do? He gives you 34,
12 of 18.
Five of eight from three. You're losing your mind. Because, again, they're going through these things. These guys, this is where I mean, the IQ ain't there. The IQ ain't there. And it's time to start Simeon Wilcher over Jordan Pope. It's time. It is time. Jordan Pope, he showed you last night that if this shot ain't falling, he's going to get blown by. He's a liability on defense. And I'm not saying Wiltshire's that much better than Jordan Pope, because Wiltshire has flaws too. But at least Wiltshire, he has a certain amount of athleticism that Jordan Pope does not have, to where it just brings an extra amount of juice to the game. And he just has a certain swagger that also Jordan Pope doesn't have. At least right now, Jordan Pope's really good against mid-majors. He doesn't turn the ball over. He could get his shot off. But when they play against SEC-level competition, Power 5-level competition, he could struggle. He could struggle. And right now, he was a part of that crew that Sean Miller was talking about with effort. He said effort I don't know how many times in that around 8-minute press conference he had after that game. That's really the only thing he was preaching. He was questioning guys' effort, and he was talking about Daylon Swain, Mathis, and Jordan Pope, all the guys that he sat. So maybe that is a message where those guys should be offended by it, and you should want to prove Sean Miller wrong, or it could backfire and say, well, maybe you're the problem, coach. Like, maybe you need to take a little bit more accountability. And that's where I fear Sean Miller might have lost the team.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there anything positive that came out of last night's game?
Yeah. Like, Tremont Mark continues to play good basketball. You know, that missed free throw he had against Mississippi State, that was a killer with how well he's been playing. And I think that's one thing Sean Miller has really done well, just unleashing his confidence and making him better for the team. Again, Cam Heidi, even though I think it did play into Rick Barnes' strategy, you still got to hit the shots. Even though that they were more available because they weren't worried about them, you still got to knock them down. And he did that. And he has good range. And he put the ball on the deck last night and got a layup. I haven't seen that once. So Sean Miller calling him out in that presser after Mississippi State, I think it got to Cam Heidi, you know. And I saw Declan DeRue in a little bit. I wish he would have played more. I'm still confused on that situation. But I also think Simeon Wiltshire, like I said, I think he needs to get some more minutes over Jordan Pope. And I think Sean Miller is starting to realize that from what he saw last night from the point guard position.
Yeah. That was tough. Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hate to say that Sean Miller is not getting through to this team at all. Yeah. And the way, you know, what was the comment he said after the game? He said,
yeah, he had one that really stuck out.
The one where he said, I play for Sean Miller.
Yeah.
That one was kind of weird.
That's a little, because it's obvious. Yeah. Like,
here's the quote. He said, I thought there were a number of guys who really tried to create the second shot opportunities with effort. We want to play with pace and togetherness, but you weren't really able to do that tonight. Some of it is Tennessee is such an excellent defensive team that they take some of those things away. But we have to establish that I'm playing for the University of Texas. I play for Sean Miller. He's the coach. What he says goes. This is how we do it.
Yeah.
He said, I play for myself. I play for my teammates, mostly. I'm caught up in the moment. I'm playing a game I love, and I'm going to play as fast, as hard as I can. And then he said, if you can't play with effort, it's going to be very, very hard the next couple of months. So,
yeah. And you know, the guys that he sat, Mathis, Swain, Pope, I thought that Swain was discouraged by the turnovers. And that was tough for him. I don't think effort was a Swain thing. Mathis, I think his effort's there. I just don't think he's very smart. And when he was talking about in the quote that you just read, like, I do what I'm told type thing. Like, I listen to the coach. Sean Miller's a coach. I listen to what he says. What he says goes. I think that, and I could be wrong, but from what I've watched and how I watch Mathis play, and I'm sure the things that they're asking from Mathis, it feels like Mathis, he gets caught up into the game –